What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. We got over a week's worth of Warriors news and fun to get to. All-Star break, three-point contest, All-Star game, beating the Kings, losing to the Rockets, and a little bit of everything in between. That's all coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. Yes, I said back because it's been over a week with no Locked On Warriors. The All-Star break, obviously, and then I just have not been able to get to the podcast. It's been some crazy stuff at work, but we're back now, back to the 5 days a week, back for the home stretch, back through the finals, back, we're back, period. Gonna go through the last week or so of news and notes with the Warriors. Gonna do it pretty quick because I got a lot to get to. We'll start with the All-Star break and the All-Star game and festivities, etc. Steph was obviously the man in Charlotte. Steve Kerr called him the unofficial host. Steve Kerr loved the fact that he didn't have to go to Charlotte and coach and be a part of All-Star weekend. Mike Malone was more than happy to do it. But Steph was the unofficial host. He had a bunch of events, bunch of activities, bunch of stuff in the community. We all saw Sonya knock down a half-court, underhand, three-point shot. And Steph lost his mind. It was a great moment, a lot of fun. And in his interview, his official All-Star game availability said he saw her wind up and it was wham, bam, can of ham. And pretty goofy, but, you know, whatever, it's Steph. And then we find out that it was something that him and the Tonight Show were doing together where they gave him a couple sayings to sneak into his interviews. It was pretty funny. You know, stuff like that is just fun, and Steph did it pretty seamlessly. It was a weird saying, but I thought he mixed up like can of corn in baseball, you know, where it's like an easy pop-up on the infield. Ah, it's a can of corn. No problem. Got it. But he didn't, and he's funny, and it was great. What was the other one? Energizer Bunny, and then there was one more that I can't even remember. But Steph was great throughout the entire weekend, the entire whatever 4 days that it was. He also told Under Armour, whatever parties or events you're planning, I want you to take all that money and put it towards remodeling, redoing the rec center that Steph grew up at. And that's exactly what they did, and the place looks great. And just another great thing for our leader, Steph Curry. As far as the three-point contest goes, he got edged out by Joe Harris. By if Steph just hit that last money ball shot, I think it was his second to last shot, actually, but whatever, if he hit every single money ball on the money ball rack, would have been tied up. We would have gone to overtime, sudden death, whatever the hell it's called, but he didn't. Joe Harris wins. And Joe Harris, I mean, here's the thing about the 3-point contest is I've said it has a lower ceiling than the dunk contest, but a higher floor. And the dunk contest has the higher ceiling. Like, we can see something incredible, like the Aaron Gordon, Zach LaVine dunk contest of, what was it, 16 or 15? That was, I mean, go look at the highlights. That was the best part of the dunk contest, was everyone was tweeting out the highlights of the Aaron Gordon, Zach LaVine showdown, which was an all-timer. I mean, for my money, the best ever. But, you know, I don't have much money, so it doesn't really matter. But with the 3-point contest, we know what we're going to get. Guys are going to knock down threes. But as far as it goes this year, I mean, bunch of high scores. What did Steph have? 28 and then 24, and Joe Harris had 25 and then 26. Like, those are high scores, man. And Joe Harris is a great shooter. He made sure to tell the media that just because I knocked down some shots grabbing the ball off the rack, by no means I'm a better shooter than Steph Curry, who's the greatest of all time. So shout out Joe Harris. That's cool, man. As far as the dunk contest, who cares? No Warriors were in it, and it was actually pretty lame. It was pretty lame. John Collins did wreck a poorly made airplane that I thought was pretty funny. Every time someone comes out and does a extra person, extra prop dunk, I want them all to eat it and get up just fine. Like the Dennis Smith one where he's jumping over Dwayne Wade and Steph's tossing it up for him. I wanted to see him run into Dwayne Wade, knock him into Steph, and all three of them go down. And they all get up okay. But that's just what I wanted. I know, I'm different. But I thought it'd be hilarious. We didn't get to see it. We just got to see him try it like 8 times and then finally throw it down. So dunk contest was whack. There's nothing you can do to fix it. Maybe if you get the Stars to do it, it'd be a little more interesting, but you're never going to get the Stars. So hopefully next year with like Zion Williamson and Ja Morant, it'll be a little more fun, but we'll just have to wait and see. As far as the All-Star game goes, it was an All-Star game, man. Not a lot there. Steph, you know, got shots up. I think he took the most shots in the game, tied with, I think, Giannis, 23 shots. I think Steph went like 6 for 23. It was not a good showing. But most of the guys looked hungover out there. Steph might have been too. But that alley-oop that he threw to Giannis off the bounce on that fast break was pretty awesome. And as far as game action is concerned, it was semi-game action. It wasn't a situation where it's a fast break and everyone's sitting back. You know, he threw that oop to get over Durant, and it got to Giannis, and Giannis threw it down, man. It was sick. It was sick. One of my favorite things of All-Star break is seeing the interactions between players who don't obviously play together, don't get to spend a lot of time together. I don't read anything into it because that's dumb and everyone else can do it. But if I did read something into it, here's what I got. Giannis is going to be a Warrior soon. Kevin and Kyrie, KD and Kyrie, they're going to go somewhere. I don't know where, but they're going to go somewhere. And Anthony Davis wants to be a Laker. Those are the three things I got from All-Star Weekend, if I was reading into those things. But I don't. I just think they all had a good time together. I will say this, though, when it comes to KD and Kyrie, with the Oscars being last night. To me, so A Star is Born didn't win, whatever. I haven't seen it, but it's been really annoying, all the hype it's getting. And there's certain media outlets within sports, the Ringer, who just won't shut up about it. And they also won't shut up about KD and Kyrie, which, by the way, I love the Ringer, not to bash. They do great work everywhere else. But the only thing funnier than A Star is Born not winning the Oscar last night would be KD and Kyrie teaming up somewhere other than New York, because that's all we f***ing heard about for months. So I just wanted to say that. Forgot to tweet it last night. Thought you guys might enjoy it. Okay, back to the Warriors. As far as All-Star break goes, that was about it. Klay didn't do the three-point contest. Steph said he's probably done with the three-point contest, but then I think Raymond Ritter told him, you know, well, what if we get it in San Francisco in 2023? And then he also said, maybe I'll do like a Dirk kind of move where I do one last one. So maybe. There might be more down the road, but for the immediate future, probably not. As far as the rest of the team, about half of them, it seemed like, went to Puerto Vallarta with Draymond. I think Boogie was there, Alfonso McKinney. Maybe not half of them, at least two of them. But, yeah, they all came back and getting ready for this stretch run where we expect them to be locked in and ready to go, and they came back and haven't exactly been that. Going to take a quick break, come back, talk about that and everything else here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I just finished talking about the All-Star break because, you know, it was Steph's. It was Steph's All-Star break, really, being the unofficial host this year in his hometown. And so, as I mentioned, coming back from the All-Star break, you expect them to be locked in, ready to go, and they've talked about it, that this is the time for them to start gearing up for the playoffs. And throughout the first two games back, we haven't really seen it. They have not been sharp. They look like a team that just got back from the All-Star break and is not ready to go. And against the Kings, I don't know, the Kings, I wouldn't say the Kings have their number because they've lost all four games. But for whatever reason, they just play him tough. I don't know what the deal is. They have a lot of length in the front court. Like, I don't know if that's it. Usually length hurts the Warriors, but more so with wings and not so much with, you know, centers and power forwards. So I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the pace. I mean, they definitely are younger and have fresher legs and all that stuff the Kings do. But still, that's technically the kind of game the Warriors would like to get into. They have been high-paced and fun to watch and this and that, but the Kings give them a little problem. And they got a lot of respect for the Kings, too. They haven't come out sharp. I mean, Steph and KD have been good. No one else really has. Klay has not been great the last two games. Draymond, he's been knocking down some shots. He's been hitting some threes. He also sprained his ankle against the Rockets. We'll talk about that when we get to the Rockets. Boogie has been struggling. The struggles continue. And we're going to talk about that more. But yeah, he was, you know, excited to play the Kings. Wasn't great. Was not great. It's just been a tough beginning to the post-All-Star break for the Warriors. I would be pretty excited to see the Warriors and Kings play in the eighth seed. You know, what would you guys be more excited to see? Warriors and Kings or Warriors and Lakers? I think the Warriors would prefer that it be the Clippers, honestly, because I think they are not too worried about them in general. And you don't have the LeBron versus the Warriors talk. You don't have the playing the Kings thing, where the Kings are good, man. And again, they play them tough. Draymond said he doesn't want to play the Kings in the playoffs because after every time he plays the Kings, he's dead tired, like dead tired. And so Draymond's got a lot of respect for the Kings. I think out of those three teams who are fighting for the eighth seed right now, they would prefer the Clippers. Out of all the teams that are kind of in that area, I think they prefer the Spurs mostly. The Spurs are the seventh seed right now at 33-28. And guess what? That's the exact same record as the Clippers in the eighth seed. So you have to throw the Spurs in that mix too. There's a lot of teams you could throw in the mix at this point because the difference between the fourth seed and the ninth seed, which are the Kings, is five games. So there could be a lot of moving around. But right now, as far as the Warriors are concerned, I think they would prefer the Spurs or the Clippers over the Kings and Lakers. But either way, there's not much to worry about with either of those teams. I still trust the Warriors to smack whoever they play in the first round because they're the friggin' Golden State Warriors, have the most talent in the league. Hasn't shown on a nightly basis during the regular season, and that's one of the tough things as a Warriors fan that you do have to deal with, is that there are going to be a lot of games that they just don't take real seriously in the regular season. And there's going to be nights when they come out and look like themselves. You know, what was the Milwaukee game a little while ago, the Denver game a little while ago, where they came out, were motivated and smacked these really good teams. And then there's going to be games against teams that they don't really care about, and you're just going to have to watch some not great basketball. Speaking of which, the Houston Rockets played the Warriors a couple nights ago, Saturday night, primetime game, and you expected the Warriors to be motivated. After losing two in a row to the Rockets, you expect them to be ready to go, and then the news comes out that James Harden is sitting out. So now you expect them to beat them by 50. But instead, they came out flat and sloppy and just bad. It was a bad showing by the Warriors, who have lost three in a row in the regular season to the Houston Rockets, which is something the Rockets have mentioned. They tried to downplay it because they know that it only matters what they do in the playoff now, especially against the Warriors. The Warriors, man, I don't know what's going on, but they have given up so many open threes this year, and maybe it's just a lack of discipline, a lack of caring during the regular season, but it's something they're going to have to try and fix in the playoffs, especially against a team like the Rockets. You know what they're doing, man. They're shooting threes. So that was bad. Poor shot selection throughout the game. They got down 15-0 in the first quarter and ended up shooting 28%, gave up 35. Cousins does not look good. They were forcing it to him so much in the second quarter. Warriors were just struggling to hit any shots. The only guys who were on were KD and Steph. KD did find a rhythm late, getting that mid-range going, starting to drive to the hoop, which really helped the Warriors potentially get back in it. They were plus 11 in the last 5 minutes, 59 seconds in the second quarter, and all of that was with Cousins on the bench. In the third, they knocked down back-to-back threes. They're getting it going, and then just a lot of sloppiness continued. PJ Tucker is good. He's a good defender. It was just pathetic, sloppy, frustrated play from the Dubs for the rest of the game, pretty much. It was not good. Something I've noticed also with the Warriors, they continually seem to lose focus or just not execute when it comes to defending last-second shots at the end of quarters. I feel like they've given up more last-second threes, last-second layups than I can remember seeing. It feels like the attitude towards those last-second plays is someone else will do it. Someone else will defend it. In the fourth, they just weren't great. That's when Draymond Green went down with a sprained ankle that looked bad because of the way he stayed down, but turns out he's fine and is actually probably going to play tonight against Charlotte. We'll get to the injury report when we talk about that in a minute. It feels like they lost out on every single hustle play, too. I don't know. They did end up losing the game. It happens. But there are things they have to clean up, man. I mean, look, we can make the regular season excuses all we want. But, like, sorry, front court, Draymond, Kevon, DeMarcus, Jerebko, whoever else you put in there. Like, you're getting your asses kicked by Kenneth Faried and PJ Tucker, who are fine players, but... You know, hey, Mr. Defensive Player of the Year, Draymond, where you at? Cousins, 100-time All-Star, Mr. Max Contract, where are you? It's been an ugly sight. It hasn't been great. Hopefully it's something they can clean up in the playoffs, and that's kind of what I'm expecting is that, it's just the malaise of the regular season. But we'll have to wait and see. And by the way, how has Kenneth Faried been on the bench for like three different teams over the last 3 years? Okay, it's only two, I think. But still, he's playing well with the Rockets, which is great. But the fact is that no team thought, hey, we can use this guy for 10, 15 minutes a game. It is crazy to me. Even on the Warriors' part. I mean, I know the contract, all that stuff. But the fact that he hasn't been able to get any time anywhere is crazy. Anyways, there's the rundown of the last two games. Both been kind of ugly. They went 1-1 in them. So, whatever. Moving on. Going to talk some Cousins stuff, some injury report, some game against Charlotte tonight. It's all coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. Charles T. Hamilton, what's good? Just finished up all the game-related stuff over the last week or so. And now I want to talk about DeMarcus Cousins, who has been struggling, and we've seen it, obviously. Just missing shots is the biggest part. Defensively, there's stuff he has to work on. But again, he has to be graded on a curve because he's only played, 13 games so far. But I will say this, the Warriors haven't done much to help him in the sense that I've seen them do, let's just throw it down to the post where he's going up against another center, where he's going up against, probably the hardest players on the court to post up against. They haven't really sought out mismatches for him or anything like that. Oh, Nene's down there? Here, go ahead and post up Nene. Instead of trying to run some sort of pick and roll, knowing that the Rockets switch everything to try and get Cousins a favorable matchup, they're just throwing it down. Oh, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead and post up Capella. It doesn't make sense to me. I would try and look for mismatches for him, especially on the post. The stuff with his jumper not falling, you hope eventually it will. You expect it to. But as far as trying to find mismatches and favorable plays for him, I don't see them doing that, which I think is part of what is frustrating him. I mean, just the fact he's not playing great is what's frustrating to him. But I just think they could help him a little more than they are. Remember when they played Washington and they had Sam Decker at the five and he abused Sam for, a whole quarter. Got a ton of points. Ton of easy buckets. That was a mismatch by lineup. You know, they didn't try and find him against Decker. It was just that's how it was. Where he can still be successful against smaller players. They're just not looking for it, and I don't get why not. Maybe that's something that'll change, but just these I can live with forcing post-ups, but forcing them to the best post defenders on the other team doesn't especially make sense to me. But what do I know? I'm just a gas bag with a microphone. Moving on to tonight's game against the Hornets. Obviously, on the Hornets side, Kemba Walker is the headliner. Great player. Steph's back home after a couple days off after the All-Star break. He's back in Charlotte. He does usually show out there, so look for that. And just look for some crisp, well-played basketball. It's funny, after the Rockets game, Draymond said they had just an awful practice the day before. So maybe something has changed. We'll have to wait and see. As far as tonight's game is concerned, Draymond with the ankle sprain, Sean Livingston, I think it was a hammy, are both probable. Damian Jones obviously out, and Jordan Bell is out with flu-like symptoms. So it'll be nice to have Draymond, unless he's pushing it too much. But with Jordan Bell out, you know, it'll be good to have Draymond. Something to look for tonight is just shooting. What good basketball outside of Stephen KD. Can Clay get it going a little bit? He hasn't been great the last two games. And when will we see them kind of lock in for the postseason? When are we going to see, oh, okay, they're starting to play playoff basketball. They're starting to look towards the playoffs. I don't know if it's tonight, but could be. So just another thing to look out for. As far as Boogie's concerned, we're going to keep our eye on him until he starts looking better. But tonight could be an opportunity to do some good things. Charlotte's not very deep in the front court. You know, they do have some big bodies. Bismack Biyombo, Cody Zeller, Kaminsky, you know, Willie Hernangómez. These should be good matchups for him. I'll put it that way. He should be able to get some things done. But we'll just have to wait and see. Speaking of Boogie and the center position, something to look out for also is it's February 25th, and the Warriors still have an open roster spot. Now, from my understanding, they don't have to fill the roster spot by March 1st, but the player must be waived before March 1st to be playoff eligible. So there hasn't been any movement on Robin Lopez or anyone else new. I don't know what's going to happen. We'll just have to wait and see. But it's interesting that we're getting this late in the process and we have no idea what's going on, what the move is going to be. It's looking more and more like it could just be Damian Lee getting that 15th spot, which is fine, but it doesn't really help them in the playoffs. I don't see a situation, barring injury, where Damian Lee is getting minutes in the playoffs. So keep your eye on it. We'll see what happens. I think, you know, my preference would be Robin Lopez or another capable big body. If there's a wing out there that they think they can get playoff minutes out of, great. But I don't think there's a wing out there that they can get that from. League Pass Picks 4 this evening. A lot of games tonight, which has been awesome ever since the All-Star break ended because, you know, everyone's had their break. Now we're back to it. 11 games tonight. Some interesting, some not so much. Obviously, Warriors, Hornets. I think we all kind of know which way we are leaning with that. Spurs, Nets. I'm going to go Spurs, Nets. That should be a good one. Spurs, as I've said, struggling just a little bit. And they're not very good on the road. 11-21 on the road. Nets are a solid team. Nets are a solid team. Similar records between these teams also. So I think that's the first one I'm going to go with. Pick number 2, Kings T-Wolves. The Kings are fun to watch, man. They just are. And the Timberwolves, young, fun team also, trying to make a push for that 8th spot. Probably too far out at this point, but you never know what could happen. They're 3 games behind the Kings, so that makes them 4 behind the Clippers. Speaking of which, here's a third option, Mavs-Clippers tonight, 7:30. Should be fun. Everyone loves Luka, which, by the way, something I didn't mention. he's really likable. That's what I got from him on All-Star break. And he was mic'd up, like, great player, but also just a likable young kid. So check that out. Clippers fighting for the 8th seed. So are the Mavs. But the Mavs are similar to the T-Wolves, probably just a little too far out to really make a run. But who knows? 23 games left for most teams. It's not impossible. It's not impossible. We'll see what happens. Check out tonight's games and come back tomorrow for more of Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You can't climb a mountain if it's smooth, right? You got to go over the rough spots. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.